One of the questions that I have wrestled with in the past, and I know as a youth pastor, I get these kind of questions all the time. Why did Jesus really have to suffer? Why did he really have to die? Why did he really have to go through all of that stuff? Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to start from the beginning, because the beginning is a very good place to start. We're going to start in Genesis, because we have an amazing, wonderful, beautiful, creative God who created everything that's around us. But that wasn't enough for him. He created the plants and the animals and every living thing on the earth, and that wasn't enough for him. Because he's a God that's not just a God of creation. He's not just an amazing, beautiful God who creates. He's also a lover. He's love. And he said, let us make man. Let us make people like us in our own image. Why did he make you? He made you so that he could love you. You have been made for love. The reason why you are on the earth is so that God could pour his love out on you. The bonus is that when we receive his love, we get to give that love away. So when he created Adam and Eve, they had this amazing, incredible relationship of face-to-face friendship and partnership. They had a full relationship of love with no hindrances. And God said to Adam and Eve, you get to rule over all the earth. Fill the earth and dominate it. And just as we hear later in the word that God's purpose has always been to cover the earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea, his plan all along has been to create multitudes of people that love him, that receive love from him, who carry his image and carry his glory and fill the earth. What a vision. Wouldn't the world be amazing if it was filled with people who carried the glory and power and love of God? That is what he's after. That is what he was after from the beginning, and that is what he is still after today. Adam and Eve were invited into this incredible vision that God had for all of humanity, and they rejected it. At one point or another, we've all actually rejected that. And that's really what sin means, that we have fallen short of God's glorious standard for us. He has this incredible vision for us. He has this amazing dream for us as people that we would carry his image, that we would look like him, that we would hold his glory, that we would receive his love and give it away. And we say no, but he never gives up. His face is always turned towards us, whether we say yes or no. And he's always after us. He's always looking for someone who will say yes. He's always looking for someone who will receive the invitation, who will catch the vision and say yes. The Bible is a story of people who said yes. People who decided to partner with God. He found one in Noah. He found another one in Abraham. He decided with Abraham that this is the man I'll start with. If I have to start all over again to cover the earth with glory, I'll start with this one man. I'll have a relationship with him. I'll meet with him face to face. I'll show him my glory. And through him, I'll start over. And so through Abraham, through his sons, God raised up a family. Then he raised up a tribe. Eventually, he raised up a nation. The Israelites found themselves in Egypt under slavery. under an incredible oppressor, under a terrible enemy. But God's face was always towards them. He said, no, I'm not going to allow my people to stay in slavery. And he took them out. He led them by the hand. He provided for them in the desert. Not only did he take them out of that land, but he utterly destroyed all the powers of that land. He completely wiped out the enemies of his people in the process of bringing them into freedom. He took them into the desert, provided for all of their needs, brought them to a special place just so that he could meet with them. The man he chose to work with was Moses. The man who said yes was Moses. So he met face to face with Moses, and Moses didn't die. The elders came up on the mountain and had dinner with God, and they didn't die. So God said to the nation, you get yourselves ready, sanctify yourselves, and 3 days from now, I want all of you to come to me and meet with me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. They came to the mountain on the third day, and they said, Moses, this is too hard. We're afraid we'll die. We don't want to hear God's voice. You be the mediator for us. You go up on the mountain, you hear from God, you get the instructions from him and bring them back to us, and we'll do what you tell us to do. In other words, we say no to a relationship with God. We want the law. How different would our history be if the Israelites had said yes and gone up on the mountain and visited with God face to face? But God didn't turn his back on them. He kept his face toward them anyway. Their mission in life, their mandate as a nation, was to put on display what it would be like for a whole nation to have God as their king. The whole world watched Israel to see what it would be like. God's purpose was to draw every nation to himself through the example of Israel. But they kept turning their back on him over and over again. I used to teach a Bible for Literature class at Hartford Community College up in Maryland. And it was an elective. It was taught in the evenings. You know, I think a lot of folks just figured it would be an easy A, right? How hard can it be to read the Bible? So I would get a class full of people who were completely unchurched, never read the Bible in their lives, unbelievers. A lot of them were actually nursing students. It was kind of fun. They were serious. Those nurses had to get A's to get on to the next level, so they were serious about getting A's. But we had the best talks. Because when we read the story of Exodus, they had never read it before. So they said, this is killing us. You got to tell us how this is going to end. This is amazing. I mean, they thought it was incredible. And then we would read Joshua and Judges, and we would see this cycle of rejection by the people. They run away from God. They do stuff God tells them not to do. Then they fall into problems, and they get beat up, and they get taken over, and God sends a rescuer, and God runs in and rescues them and pulls them out, and everything's great, and then they fall back into it again. It goes on and on and on, cycle after cycle after cycle. It goes that way all through the scripture, and they're like, what are these people doing? Why can't they get it? How incredible is it that some nursing students at a community college can read the Bible, never read it before in their lives, and they get it? They get it. They get that God didn't want the law. He wanted the relationship. The prophets jump right into this because they know God's heart. So Jeremiah says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, is that Old Testament or New Testament? That sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? That sounds like good news. This is what God has always been after. It's actually to fulfill this desire for complete relationship with us that the Father sends the Son. It's out of this incredible love that the Father sent his Son for us. The Son left his throne. He put aside all the privileges of his divinity and took on humanity. He came to join us in our pain. He came to take on our weakness. He came to share in our brokenness and our frailty. He came to live life in the middle of the mess that we made. And when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God is here. Therefore, repent. In other words, the king has just come. Change everything you think you know. Life from this time on is going to be different. Nothing will be the same. Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, everything changes. He challenges these notions of religion. He challenges the old covenant, but he also fulfills the old covenant. Because remember, what God was really after was relationship, not law. And this is how he fulfills the old covenant. By saying, I'm making this right. He is like nothing else we've ever seen. It's so much better because he is a king who is so much kinder, with so much more love and so much more grace and so much more life. He's a king who's more powerful than any of our worst enemies. He's the king the whole world is looking for. And this is how Jesus demonstrates his kingdom. What does his kingdom look like? When Jesus runs into a leper, does he hold back because he might get unclean? No. He touches the leper and makes the leper clean. When Jesus runs into a dead person, is he afraid of death? No. He lays hands on the dead. The dead are raised and that funeral gets messed up. When he runs into the sick, is he afraid of the curse that might be on that sick person? No. He lays hands on the sick and they are healed. Does he reject everyone that everyone else rejects? Does he run away from the tax collector? Does he avoid the prostitute? No. He goes to dinner with them. He invites them in. He turns everything upside down. This is the way his kingdom is. We're invited into this kingdom. The amazing thing about his kingdom is it's not a kingdom of no. It's not a kingdom of you ought to. It's not a kingdom of you better. It's a kingdom of invitation. It's a kingdom of yes. When we say yes to Jesus as our King, we are saying yes to his way of life, reigning and ruling in our lives. We're saying that we invite his life into our life. We're saying that we will join our lives to his life. We're saying that we will allow him to purify us of all the uncleanness in us with his cleanness. We are saying that we will let him touch the broken places of our lives with his wholeness. We're saying that we will allow him to push the fear out of our lives with his conquering love. We're saying that we'll let him in and break down the walls of our isolation, of our self-centeredness, of our need for control, with his intimacy, with his grace, with his intimate presence. We're saying yes to lives of freedom. Yes to lives of wholeness and health. Yes to lives of full relationships. No longer do we have to protect ourselves from one another when we have him in us. We can have clear, clean, open relationships of truth with one another and with him. We're saying yes to lives of openness and truth. Yes to lives of powerful vision and incredible destiny. We're saying yes to lives that are full of peace and love and joy. It's not just for us either. It's for the whole world. He came for all of creation. So we're saying yes to a world of peace and unity and friendship. We're saying yes to a world of justice where the right always wins. We're saying yes to rules of goodness and kindness and compassion. We're saying yes to a world where the vulnerable, the weak, and the needy are protected and nurtured, where everyone's welcomed and no one's rejected and everyone's received into the family. We get to join Jesus in what he's been doing and what he's still doing. How do we get into this covenant? How do we get in? How do we join up? With faith. This new covenant's not made between God and humanity. We already tried that. It didn't work. Instead, Jesus gives himself as the man. He takes our sin, he takes our brokenness, he takes our frailty, and he takes them to the cross and he dies. He gives his life instead of ours. He carries his blood in front of the Father to say, "This is what I'm offering for them." The Father says, "Yes." And he makes a covenant with the Son that is perfect and everlasting and unbreakable. And we get in by saying yes to Jesus. There's no other way into this covenant than through Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." What do we get to do with this new covenant? Anything we want. Let me just tell you some stories. I took this new covenant, this kingdom message to orphan child soldiers in Uganda. Kids who were abducted from their homes when they were 6, 7, 8, forced to fight in a horrendous war, to do unspeakable things. They knew they deserved death. But when they heard this news, we asked them, "What would you like to do?" They said, "Let's go clear out the hospital." So we did. We went with those kids to a local hospital. And we prayed for AIDS patients. We prayed for tuberculosis patients. We prayed for people who were stricken with malaria. We prayed for people with broken bones. We prayed for all kinds of people, hundreds of people. The nurses and the doctors walked through with us and checked people after these kids prayed. They cleared out a quarter of the hospital. They got up and left. These kids who were broken, these kids whose lives had been destroyed, went into a hospital and healed AIDS patients. They healed cancer. They healed tuberculosis. They healed malaria because they said yes to Jesus. They stepped into the new covenant and entered into his kingdom. A couple months ago, some of my friends were in a park in Baltimore. We do church on Sunday mornings with the homeless. And we just give away coffee and pastries and we pray for folks. And there was a guy named Mike there who had been an Iraq war vet. And his back had been shattered by an IED. He had about 6 or 7 inches of titanium in his back. So two of my friends, Matt and Bill, are praying for him. And all of a sudden, all of his pain leaves. He had been in intense pain for 4 years. He had been in so much pain, the doctors couldn't do anything for him. He went on drugs. He lost everything. He became an addict. He lost his business, his house, his family, everything. His life was destroyed. In a minute, God took all of his pain, took the titanium rods out of his back. He had complete range of motion, total flexibility. All of his pain was gone. He's doing like karate kicks and stuff. Like he's beside himself. So Bill and Matt are still standing there talking to him about how incredible he feels. And all of a sudden he looks across the street and he says, "You guys didn't pray for my eyes, but my eyes are completely healed. I can see all the way across the street." Did anybody get that? Yeah. So God totally healed his eyes. They never prayed for it. Then they're talking some more, and all of a sudden he turns around like, "Wait a minute, I can hear that conversation back there. My ears were damaged in the war, and now I can hear again." This is what we get to do. Just this last Wednesday, I love this. Oh, I love this so much. Just this last Wednesday, I was giving away coffee to heroin addicts at a methadone clinic. And this woman, Tia, walks up to me, gets a cup of coffee, and says, "I really need you to pray for me." She goes, "I'm sick. I can't be on methadone anymore. They're taking me off of it, and I feel terrible. Withdrawal from methadone is so bad. There's just constant, like, intense joint pain, bone, like your bones hurt. It's intense." And she's sick. And so I started to just pray for her, just pray for the presence of God to touch her. And she started to sweat. Fire started running through her body. And in a couple of minutes, she detoxed right in front of me. I don't know how it happened, but God just burned all the chemicals out of her body, took all of her addiction, all of that withdrawal, all that pain, all that sickness was completely gone in 5 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. This is how the kingdom works. Because I'm telling you, methadone needs to be out of business. We want to take heroin out of business. We want to put homelessness out of business. The stuff that's going on in our community that's not right has got to go. It must stop. That's what we get to do with the power of the kingdom. You've been invited into the kingdom. You've been invited into this amazing, incredible adventure that God has set before you. To be the people that he has called you to be. To make the wrong things right in your community, in your life, in your family. He invites you to say yes. He invites you to say yes to a life of wholeness, to a life of love, to a life of peace, to a life of destiny, to a life of vision. He invites you to say yes. Would you say yes? Would you say yes to Jesus? Would you say yes to his kingdom? We're going to demonstrate it right now. Who's got pain in their body? Who's got sickness in their body right now? Just stand up. Stand up right now. Okay, those that are around him, just lay hands on him. We're going to pray for 2 minutes, and healing is going to come right now because the kingdom of God is here. You are here. You have everything necessary to heal the sick, to bring peace to those who are in trouble, to give hope to those who are desperate. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now and bring healing. Come right now and bring hope. Come right now and bring peace. In Jesus' name. We command pain to leave. We command cancer to go right now. We speak life into people's bodies right now in Jesus' name. I just feel like somebody's got problems with their kidneys. Is anybody on dialysis right now? I just feel like God's giving somebody new kidneys. Who needs new kidneys? Is that you? You need new kidneys? Okay. In Jesus' name, I just speak life right now into your kidneys. I command new kidneys right now to come in Jesus' name. Speak life into your body right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody who has metal in their bodies, we just command that metal to come out. We command new bones, new ligaments, new joints right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's hear the report. Move around, try it out. Who's been healed? What happened? You couldn't bend without feeling pain, and now you can. Thank you, Jesus. Who else got healed? Who else got healed? Carol, what happened? You couldn't do that before? Thank you, Jesus. Who else got healed? Thank you, Jesus. What happened? Your pain in the elbow is gone. Thank you, Jesus. Who else? Who else got healed? Yes. It's all gone? What level would you say your pain was from like 1 to 10? What was it? About an 8 or a 9. And now where is it? About a 2. In Jesus' name, I just command the rest of that pain to go right now. Come, Holy Spirit, touch her right now. We thank you for healing her. No more pain in Jesus' name. Amen. How's it feel now? Feels better. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Who else got healed? Anybody else? Yes. You had a headache? You've had a headache for 2 days. Wow. It's gone now? Thank you, Jesus. We just declare that those headaches are not going to come back in Jesus' name. We speak peace over your life, peace over your head. No more headaches in Jesus' name. Anybody else get healed? How do you feel? Did you feel anything happen when we prayed for your kidneys? Okay. 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 Well, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good king, that you invite us into your reign, that you invite us into your rule, that you invite us into your kingdom. We say yes to your kingdom. We say yes to your life in our lives. We join our lives to your life. Amen. Amen.